What's up, everybody? Weston Hockowitz here alongside my colleague, back from vacation, Mike Spofford, here at Packers.com on Facebook Live and Periscope. I think this is the first off-season chat we've done, isn't it? We did one briefly after the coaches were announced a few weeks back, but actually sitting in the driver's seat here inside the Lambeau Field atrium, taking all of your questions for the next 15 to 20 minutes or so. Mike, I'm going to get this started, though, with a topic that I've been talking a lot about. I'd like to get your thoughts on it, which is the fact that the Packers already have re-signed Davante Adams, Corey Linsley, before we got into this real off-season grind.
Yeah.
On the insider inbox, a lot of people this week talking about status quo. What is status quo? What isn't status quo? The point I'm trying to make with this, and I'm not trying to turn this into some giant narrative, but the fact
but that's okay.
Yeah, it is what it is. But the fact that Linsley and Adams are both taken care of, it really sets up the Packers now. They still have, I believe, 8 or 9 unrestricted free agents, some other decisions they have to make. But getting those two done, I think, is already a step towards improving the 2018 team.
Yeah, I agree with you totally. And it's one of those, as the 2017 season was coming to an end, very rarely does the picture present itself so clearly in terms of what are the no-questions-asked top priorities in terms of free agent re-signings. And it was so obvious based on where the Packers were with the players they had under contract that Corey Linsley and Davante Adams were, you know, 1-2-2-1, however you want to rank them. And so it just it made all the sense in the world to get them taken care of before the end of the regular season. So you go into this offseason already with two major, major priorities taken care of, and then you can move on and focus on the other things, which obviously has been a new general manager, lots of changes on the coaching staff. Now everybody's getting ready to go to the combine and really begin to dive into those final stages of the draft preparation. Obviously, the personnel department's been studying all the prospects all the way going back to last fall, but now you get into late February, you know, and through March, and this is the final push to set the draft board because you've already taken care of those top two guys on your free agent list.
All right, looking at Facebook Live, a question that came up: do you expect the Packers to sign a veteran quarterback this offseason? There's two parts to this. One, if you look at the way Mike McCarthy's run this thing the last few years, the Packers have taken four quarterbacks into the offseason program. Whether that's competing for the number two, number three, what have you, they've done that. I fully expect you're going to see a fourth quarterback again. But with it being a new GM, and obviously Mike McCarthy, depending on what he's thinking, it's really hard to tell if that guy's going to come through the draft as an undrafted free agent or as a potential veteran acquisition. One of the things we've been doing, I think, during your vacation was I was trying to go back and look at the last time the Packers have had a veteran quarterback in the offseason program with them that wasn't homegrown, like a Matt Flynn or somebody like that. It really, depending on your definition of it, It might be Tim Couch in 2004, believe it or not. Akili Smith was with them the year before that. JT O'Sullivan was traded for in the season. Seneca Wallace got signed during week one. But whether it's been Mike McCarthy, Mike Sherman, whatever, you know, your definition, the Packers really have done most of their work developing their own.
Yeah, that's been the MO of the last couple of administrations here, really, in terms of the quarterback position. I guess everybody's waiting to see, you know, as the new general manager, will Brian Gutekunst take a different approach?
Because it's all speculation at this point. It's his first time running the ship.
Yeah, and the other thing too is that obviously the value of a backup quarterback was proven in what Nick Foles did, stepping in for Carson Wentz and still leading the Eagles to the Super Bowl championship, but what that also did is drive up the price for backup quarterbacks. And there are going to be salary cap considerations and everything else as the Packers look to, you know, do some more things on defense, look for potentially some more long-term answers at wide receiver and tight end, whether that be through free agency in the draft. All of those things, I mean, everything with the salary cap has to fit together like a puzzle. You can't just go out and chase the next Nick Foles at whatever price tag it is just because that worked for the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean,
because it doesn't always work that way. And you need to have, in a lot of cases, a young quarterback that isn't breaking the bank yet, that's not making $20, $25 million a year.
Exactly. That's the thing. That was what that
was. Foles' number next year is pretty high.
Yeah.
I believe.
It is pretty high. And yes, Carson Wentz is not on his second contract yet. It's the same thing that John Schneider did in building the Seattle Seahawks into a perennial contender because he was able to take advantage of the fact that he got his franchise quarterback in the third round. And for those first 3 years, it's built into the CBA. You cannot renegotiate that contract.
Right.
A rookie contract for a draft pick, you have that guy has to put in 3 years before you can renegotiate a deal. And John Schneider in Seattle took advantage of that and built a team around Russell Wilson before he had to pay him the big money that could compete on an annual basis. So every team's situation is different. The Philadelphia Eagles are in that situation now. The Green Bay Packers are in a different situation because you're looking at needing to take care of the franchise quarterback now that, you know, these guys like Jimmy Garoppolo and others are getting some big money deals.
Totally. And also guys that reached unrestricted free agency.
Yes.
Total different ball game. Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay Packers' number one quarterback, obviously coming off the collarbone injury. A number of people on Facebook Live, I've seen a couple on Twitter as well, asking where his health is at. You talk to him at the red carpet for the NFL honors. He can swing a golf club, and if you can swing a golf club, you can play football.
Yeah, and I tried to clarify with him, and he made no bones about it. He feels that once the off-season workouts start in the middle of April, about 2 months away, he expects to have absolutely no limitations in terms of any medical issues, any physical issues with the collarbone, with the shoulder, everything like that. He's good to go. So that was good to hear. And he was very, very positive, very optimistic, very upbeat about that. He has no concerns at all long term or even in the short term heading into 2018 here about his health post surgery.
Yes, absolutely. And one other thing to consider too when you look at this, and obviously the years that go on here, the Packers, his history in this offense, so much of it is based on the offseason program, his participation in that. He's talked at that for length, I would say, for the last 4 or 5 years. He thinks that is a very important avenue towards really propelling him into this back nine of his career, as he said before.
Yeah, so, Aaron Rodgers doesn't skip OTAs unless the coaches say, you're going to sit this one out because we're going to let the young quarterbacks take it. You know, Aaron Rodgers could skip every OTA if he wanted to. Any of these veteran players could. They're technically all voluntary. The team cannot compel them to be here, cannot fine them for being absent, anything like that. But Aaron Rodgers is the leader of this team, and his annual participation in all of the OTAs and in all of the offseason program really sets the table for what the Packers want to build for each coming season.
All right, looking at the receiver situation quick, I know it's a popular topic, people wondering exactly what's going to happen there.
Yeah.
Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb are under contract for one more season. Obviously, you still have them in the fold. Davante Adams got the extension. I know a lot of people like to become GMs. A lot of people like to micromanage these situations. I've been one on the other side of the fence saying that I don't think Davante Adams' contract directly affects anybody on this roster. Packers have some decisions to make. Brian Gutekunst has some decisions to make. But when you're looking at that aspect of it, I don't know if one directly ties into another.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
Right, I don't know if it does either, just because both of those other guys are in the final year of their deals, and you can decide, you know, we don't even know with Jordy Nelson how much longer he's planning on continuing to play. We all know, obviously, that, you know, all of these guys have been more productive with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback than anybody else, and they have the chemistry with Rodgers that other young guys, it's going to take more time to build. And so, you know, really these are decisions for the GM to make. And, you know, will it depend on maybe who's available in free agency, who they might like in the draft in terms of, you know, who they might like to target, all of those things. So I think some of these decisions with regards to the receiver position haven't really been made yet. It's still a work in progress until we get to really the start of training camp. And then you start to look at how do you want the 2018 depth chart to look at that position.
One thing I definitely would be very surprised about, because I know some people have asked, when you look at Allen Robinson become free agents, if the Packers would look at a Sammy Watkins, I do not anticipate, not that I know anything in this matter, but I would not anticipate the Packers are going to look for outside help there. They are very deep. They have the resources they want. And I know I saw some comments on there on Facebook Live talking about, are receivers a dime a dozen? Can you put in one and just have success? I think if you ask Aaron Rodgers, he's going to tell you how much that experience with him in this offense really impacts what they're able to do on the field.
Yep.
For years, 10 years now, the longest combo in the NFL, him and Jordy Nelson, there is a second wavelength to all this, that they're playing on a different level that not a lot of players in this league are playing at in terms of being able to adjust, adapt, and have that similar thought process that allows them to do some of the things they can do to get the advantage once the ball's snapped.
Yeah, we hear Aaron Rodgers talk all the time about there's the offense that's on paper in the playbook, and then there's the offense that you run out on the field, because it involves all the adjustments, all the changes on the fly, all the reading of the defense, and going back into the memory banks of, you know, a couple of years ago, or even 5 or 6 years ago in the case of a guy like Jordy Nelson, where an adjustment that they made on a certain play against a certain coverage, you know, Rodgers and Nelson have that connection where they see things and they know, even if they haven't done it for a few years. And that's the kind of thing that Aaron Rodgers is talking about in terms of running the offense on the field as opposed to running just the one that's on paper in the playbook.
All right, again, he's Mike Spofford. I'm Wes Hockowitz. We are live on Facebook Live and Periscope, answering all of your questions here for the next 5 to 10 minutes or so. Looking at the defense, because I've seen a lot of questions there in what the Packers could potentially be interested in as we look towards the draft. Obviously, the NFL Scouting Combine, Mike, is now 2 weeks away. You and I will be in Indianapolis for that.
Yeah, bud.
I made a lot of cases, a lot of arguments in Insider Inbox while you've been gone. That's been one of my primary jobs. In terms of, I don't care if it's defensive end. I don't care if it's outside linebacker. I don't care if it's cornerback. The Packers have an opportunity at number 14, and it could be offense too, for all that we know.
Yep.
My biggest thing isn't looking at position. I don't say that just because of the, you know, best player available cliche. I just think this is an opportunity that Brian Gutekunst has in his first year as a GM, an opportunity that Ted Thompson hadn't had in 9 years, to pick this high in a draft. I think you got to find an impact football player, and that sounds easy, but even you look at some of these guys. Derek Barnett was the number 14th overall pick last year for the Philadelphia Eagles, and he makes one of the biggest plays of the Super Bowl. These are the type of things that you look for, guys that not only are going to make day one impacts, but can give you something in the long term. Because really, for the last 8-9 years, the Packers have had to try to find those guys at the end of the first round.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, and I know you go back to 2009, the Packers ended up with 2 first-round picks because of the trade that Ted Thompson made to get back in the first round. Took B.J. Raji and Clay Matthews. Obviously, that worked wonders for Green Bay and the defense, and you know, helped build a Super Bowl champion in 2010. I kind of look at this a little bit more along the lines of the 2014 draft, because that was obviously, the Packers made the playoffs in 2013, but it was coming off of, you know, Rodgers having the broken collarbone. The team only went 8-7-1 in the regular season and all of that. And you look at that draft, you were picking at 21. You got HaHa Clinton-Dix. You got Devontae Adams in the second round.
Right.
You got Richard Rodgers in the third round. You got Corey Linsley in the fifth round. You got Jeff Janis in the seventh round. That was a pretty darn good draft.
Right.
I think if Brian Gutekunst can have a draft like that, you look at where the Packers were at the end of 2014, what Adams was doing, what Clinton-Dix was doing. Obviously, Linsley was a starter at center, forced into that position. What that draft did to basically put the Packers on the brink of going to the Super Bowl in 2014, I think Gutekunst needs to have a draft like that. He can have a draft like that with where he's positioned at number 14. You have a draft like that here in 2018, I think the Packers can be right back on the brink of the Super Bowl again.
And that's exactly what happened going into 2008, and obviously within 2 years of that, ended up winning the Super Bowl. Want to quickly touch on, because I've seen a couple questions about this, with Ty Montgomery and where his future is. I think this is becoming somewhat a narrative, thanks to my friend Rob Domofsky at ESPN.com. But here's the thing that I look at with Montgomery. One, first, you obviously have to get healthy after the wrist injury. But he's a playmaker, first and foremost. And I think sometimes we get so wrapped up on position. I made the joke this past week when we're talking about the number and all these other questions. I think sometimes people lose sight of the fact that guys can just be playmakers.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying create the Denard Robinson offensive weapon designation or anything like that. But I just really think when you look at the education that Montgomery's had now with Ben Sermons as a running back and the education he had with Luke Getsy and the receivers, there's a value in that. So whether you're using him, if you're going to split him out, he knows he has tremendous hands. He knows how to function out there. He knows how to, you know, read, obviously, the run packages and things like that. I just think now that you've established Aaron Jones and you have Jamal Williams there, both of those guys showing that they can carry the load, as well with Montgomery the first month of the season, what he did in 2016, I just think the flexibility there ultimately is going to be his biggest strength going into 18.
Yeah, I mean, personally, and I know fantasy football owners are going to want to know, like, what is Ty Montgomery's position? Personally, I don't care what his position is, how they want to label him, if they're going to label him running back or wide receiver or offensive weapon. I think Ty Montgomery is a guy that Mike McCarthy is going to have a handful of plays in every game plan that are going to be designed to get the ball into Montgomery's hands and give him an opportunity to make some plays. Yeah. I think that's what Ty Montgomery's role is going to be in 2018. It might be lining up at running back at times. It might be lining up in the slot. It might be lining up out wide. Maybe he lines up as an off the ball tight end when you maybe still have another tight end on the other side, something like that. There can be all kinds of ways that Mike McCarthy and Joe Philbin can get Ty Montgomery the ball. It's going to come down to what does he do when the ball is in his hands, and does he earn more opportunities from that starting point? And whether that starting point is running back or wide receiver, I think is irrelevant.
And assuming that Randall Cobb is back in the fold for next season, I tell you what, one of the reasons why Cobb jumped on the scene in 2011 was operating within that offense with Mike McCarthy and Joe Philbin.
Yep.
What they could potentially, you know, as they begin to rewrite the playbook a little bit and look at some other things, what they could potentially do with both of those guys if they're both healthy and on the field will be an interesting thing to watch. Lastly, we're going to finish up on this, Mike, and then I know obviously we have a lot of other things to get to here before the end of the week. The Packers, the coaching staff, the changes, everything has kind of fallen into place right now. How important is this time between now, getting ready for the combine, and obviously with free agency now then less than a month away, in terms of trying to create that vision for what they look for going into 2018?
Yeah, well, I think as Mike McCarthy said when he introduced a lot of the new coaches and everything, they're really working on, you know, breaking down the playbook and building what they want to give the players on paper when they come back for off-season workouts, the start of off-season workouts in a couple of months. On the other side of that, you have you have the personnel department is, you know, full speed ahead on preparing for the draft. And you do have the coaches now will also go to the scouting combine, not so much to scout the players in terms of those on-the-field workouts and the stuff that you see on NFL Network and whatnot, but it's more getting the opportunity to interview players and talk to them, you know, sitting in those meetings in the hotel rooms that we're not a part of, that there are no cameras there and whatnot. That's where the coaches get involved in, you know, some of this draft preparation, because the personnel department likes to have as many different guys who might be, you know, dealing with this player should the Packers draft him and bring him in and make him a part of the team. You know, try to get to know him as best you can beforehand and really see from a personality standpoint what you're dealing with. How will this guy fit in the locker room? All those kinds of things. So the coaches are going to be spending their time at the scouting combine doing some of that kind of work.
Right. And then lastly, I just want to touch on this because I've seen some follow-ups about the Montgomery thing and flex player, all those kind of things. I want to point this out because I made the argument, too, on Insider Inbox, I think, a week ago. Philadelphia Eagles and the New England Patriots, if you add them together, I believe it was 11 running backs that they had in that Super Bowl. 11. So, I mean, that kind of gives you an idea, I think, of where this league is going and how it isn't just about one guy. If you have a guy that can do it all, more power to you. I think the Packers have a really good prospect in that way with Jamal Williams and potentially where he could fit and the different hats he can wear. But ultimately, it's not just about depth. It's also about those matchup things that you talked about. Creating certain game plans for certain people at certain times can go a long way in exactly what the Packers are looking to achieve in 2018. He's Mike Spofford. I'm Wes Hockowitz. We thank you guys, as always, for joining us on Twitter and Facebook Live. We appreciate all the questions. I apologize if I did not get to yours. We'll have some more content the rest of the week. Again, in 2 weeks, we'll be in Indianapolis for the NFL Scouting Combine. Brian Gutekunst, Mike McCarthy, and a ton of NFL prospects. I think 332 all told will be talking with the media. But until next time, for Mike, I'm Wes.